Now, I'm just curious. Give me a wave. Who's that one of those people who just loves goals? Like, give me a wave. You're like a goal-driven person. Come on, there's a few of us wackos out there. I'm one of them. They're the exception to the rule. Who's like a, I'll give or take them. I get motivated. And who's just like, nah, I'm not very good at goals. That's all good. I feel like 80% of people didn't raise their hand just then. So anyway, it's all good. But no matter where you are, this is going to be a helpful topic for each of us. And I am one of those weirdos who just naturally was born with a goal of 10 things, like by the time I was 3 months old. Like, I'm a goal-driven little dude. When I was 10 years old, I remember I had a goal of I was going to be an Olympic gold medalist. And I think I was about 7 or 8 when I asked my parents for a coach, and I got like someone who'd train Olympians, and I'd train with like 20-year-olds who were the best runners in Canberra. And I was like 8 years old. And I had this vision. I was like, I'm going to be a gold medalist and I'm going to travel around Australia and then the world telling young people about Jesus. Like, who does that at 7 years old, right? Like, obviously there's something wrong with me. But anyway, we're going to get into it today. So I'm wondering if you have ever received a vision from God. Have you ever received a vision from God? I, at 7, obviously, I'd received a vision from God that I wanted to encourage young people about Jesus, but I had multiple times in my life. I love getting vision from God. It is getting a glimpse into our future. It is getting a picture, a snapshot, a promise of who God has called us to be. And in life, we have short-term visions, we have long-term visions. Like, sometimes we'll get a vision of, like, it might be the next 5 years or 10 years, and we just get these glimpses of who God's called us to be, of what He's asked us to do. We get these little snapshots of what He's calling us into. I know for me personally, when I close my eyes, I can see a picture of the next 5 years and what I feel God's asked me to become and where I need to grow and what He's called me to do. And then we get long-term visions where sometimes God speaks to us and they're like promises for the rest of our life. I remember it's so strange. I just once was at a conference and I just had this encounter with God. It was so strange. And I just saw myself at like 75 years of age. And I saw my family sitting around me and I just felt God just speak some words over me. And it was the strangest thing. It's like just this snapshot. And I got to tell you, I was the most ripped 80-year-old you have ever seen. I'm talking rock hard abs and massive. No, I'm just joking. But I did get a vision for my future. And I love it because when we receive a vision, we can begin to live with intentionality. That's what I want to share around goals today. We can begin to work backwards from who God has called us to be and what He has called us to do. A great question to ask is, what do I need to do today to become the person God has called me to be tomorrow? And when I close my eyes and I see myself at 35 and I see myself at 40 and 50 and 60, I got to tell you, the person I see has a deeper relationship with Jesus. He is a better husband than I am today. He is a great dad. He is more disciplined. And for me, it's like, it almost scares me because there's so much growth between now and then. But this is the awesome thing about God is He gives us pictures of the future so we can take steps toward the vision of who He's called us to become. God always gives us a vision, and the person in that vision is not who I am today. And that's good because it enlarges us to become who God's called us to be. And can I tell you, who God has called you to become is so much greater than you could even imagine today. And that's why we only get glimpses. I'm sure you've heard it said that if God showed us the full future, we'd probably run away terrified. I know I would have. But that's what I love about God. I want us to go to Genesis 12 of a moment where God gave a vision to a 75-year-old man. Wow, this is amazing. So let's go to Genesis chapter 12. The team will get it behind me. We're going to read through a small passage of scripture of a man named Abram. So the Lord had said to Abram. So as I said, picture this. Abram is 75. Like 75 years of life, he's quite comfortable. He's got some possessions. He's got family. He's in a place of comfort, a place that we all know that's very real is our comfort zone. And the voice of God comes to Abraham and he says, go. Everyone say go. That's a terrifying word. Go. Maybe he's saying that to you today. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Man, that's faith. God isn't saying go and here is where I want you to go. He's saying, I'm not going to tell you yet. I want you to go and I'm going to show you as you go. That's terrifying. And then check out this promise God gives Abram. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. That's a pretty big vision to get from God, right? Like every person on the entire earth will be blessed through you. And so what we see here is this 75-year-old man. We don't know anything really about Abram at this point, but Abram receives this vision from God for the future. And it is mind-bogglingly, blowingly huge. So what does he do? Verse 4, so Abram went. Everyone say went. So God said, go. God gave him a vision and Abram went. Abram's made a step in the direction of the vision as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old and he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot and all the possessions they'd accumulated and the people they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived there. And I find this passage so powerful where God met Abram, as I shared, gave him a vision for his life, and with great faith and wisdom, he strategically took a step. And I want us to notice this morning what Abram didn't do. Abram didn't receive a vision from God and then go, all right, this is awesome. I'm going to stay where I am, and God's going to do it all for me. Did you notice he didn't do that? Did you notice he just didn't sit around and hope that it would happen? He didn't just wait for God to do everything. What did Abram do? He took a step. And hope alone won't ever change our life, but habits will. God works with us. And if we want to change our life, we need to change our habits. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. But it can be a great temptation for all of us as believers to want God to do everything for us. Where sometimes we receive a vision, we receive a promise, and then it's tempting just to go, awesome, God's going to do it all for me. But what I have discovered in my life and what Abram discovered here is often God moves when we move. God goes with us, but we have to take steps. And Abram took a step. He had to do something. God asked him to go, so what did he do? He went. Abram took a step. The promise that God gives you and he gives me always requires you and I to take steps of faith. It requires of us discipline, sacrifice, and commitment. He took a step in the direction of the vision and God blessed him in his obedience. James 1:22 says this in the New King James. James says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." This is one of the most convicting verses in the Bible because James was saying, guys, it's one thing to hear the word of God, but unfortunately, it's not enough. We don't want to just be hearers, but be doers. Everyone say doers. And one great way of thinking about this is God will add the super to our natural. We want a supernatural God, but he will add his supernatural power when you and I do the natural things that we can do that are within our control. I picture it like this in my life. Maybe it's like 75% me and 25% God. And what God does is everything. That's everything. But he requires me to do the 75%. He requires me to leave Haran and go. He requires me to take a step of faith, be disciplined, live sacrificially, and commit to what he's called me to do. A great man of God once said, Jesus doesn't sit with sitters. He doesn't sleep with sleepers, but does he go with goers? So here today, we've talked about, in this series, Divine Direction, we've talked about three things. And today's our landing message. I encourage you to go listen to them. We've talked about receiving a word from God for the year. Not just entering this year going, you know, we're just going to go wherever the drift takes me. We're going to receive a word from God. Then we talked about receiving a vision from God for our life, just like Abram did. What's the vision God has given you for the next 5 years, 10 years, 30 years? And last week, we talked about then strategically we use faith and wisdom to inherit the promises of God. And here today, as we land, we're going to be talking about goals. Goals, goals, goals. The best question today for each of us is, knowing the vision God has given me for my life, what is one step I can take this year towards that vision? What am I committing to doing? Everyone say doing. What am I committing to doing in different areas of my life? And we're not talking about New Year's resolutions. We're talking about God-oriented goals with faith and intention towards who God's called us to be. And I know that as we have faith and believe in God to do what only He can do, you and I can take steps of faith to do what we can do. And as I started in Proverbs 16, as we commit our actions to the Lord, not our waiting, not our hoping, as we commit our actions, our steps, our movement, our steps of faith to the vision, God will make our plans succeed. The decisions we make today determine who we become tomorrow. The decisions you and I make today, the decisions we make in 2025, where we intentionally set our time this year and our focus, it will determine directly who we become tomorrow. And so here today, I just want to share a few lessons I've learned around setting goals. Then I'm not going to preach for long. Then we're actually going to enter some worship. And what you'll find in your seat, everybody, is there is a goal anointing card. And some of you took these home last week and brought them back. What I want to encourage you to, I'll give us some time before we pray, but we can actually fill that out with our goals for the year. And even if you don't get to fill it out today, grab the card, get it prayed for, and take it home and fill it out. But I just want to talk about just three thoughts that I have learned from setting goals, because I've come a long way. As I mentioned earlier, I remember when I was 18, I just giggle at this now. I remember I was 18, I just rededicated my life to God, and it was Goal Anointing Sunday, okay, about 13 years ago. And I remember I brought an A4 piece of paper with 8 categories. It was like my faith, my family, my fitness, there was 8 Fs. And within every category, there was like 5 to 8 sub-points, okay? So there's like point one, sub-point A, and I'm like, I'm telling you, it would literally ended up in about 50 goals. And can you stab a guess in the dark of how many of them I probably achieved? Maybe 2, maybe 1, but probably 0. And I've come a long way, okay? That's idealism, like that, you know, to coming back to, all right, I'm going to live with intentionality and focus. And so for me, I've gone from about 50 to most years around 3 to 5 of this is what I'm committing to. But the thing I've changed is rather than just hoping that will happen and then I bring it up in December and get all depressed that I've failed and done nothing, what I do now is I'm going to set 3 to 5 strategic goals towards the vision God has for my life, and I'm going to commit to them. I'm going to have it printed in my prayer room. I'm going to have it in my Bible. I'm going to commit. Craig Rochelle, I call him the goat of goals. If you know what goat means, greatest of all times. He only adds 1 habit each year. And he is like the goat. He's like, you know, the best in the world. And what he talks about is that we all grossly overestimate what we can do in 1 year. 18-year-old Dan, I can do 50 things. Yeah. Nah. But we underestimate what we can do with a lifetime of faithfulness. So today we're going to, I just want to help you with lessons I've learned from making funny decisions. Number one, work backwards from the vision. Habakkuk 2 verse 2, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. I'm not going to go into this too deeply today because we did it for a whole week, but maybe if you don't have that vision yet, maybe that's just as important as setting your goals this year, is spending time with God, getting the vision. And what I'm reading here is God was saying to Habakkuk, make it clear, write it down, get a vision from God so he who reads it may run with it. And I love this because when we know who we are and who we're becoming, what to do often becomes clearer. Often if we're going, I actually don't know what goals to set, that's not a goal problem, it's a vision problem. But once we have the vision clear, what you and I can do is we can work backwards, as I said earlier. That's what I'm doing. I'm working backwards from who I want to be at 50, 40, and in the future. And so what is one action? This year, I can take a step. And so I got some examples that might help us. And so in my life, as I said, I see a growing and intimate relationship with God. That's a vision for my life. So a question I'm reflecting on, and I have before today, is what's one thing God wants me to do in 2025 to help me grow in my relationship and intimacy with Him? I want to be a great husband and have an outstanding marriage. So what's one thing God's asked me to do this year to help that vision come to pass? I'd love to be a great dad who just raises my children with faith and courage. And so what's one thing I can do this year? What's one step? And I'm sure you guys have heard about SMART goals, okay? SMART goals. And I just want to quickly go over it. It's a great framework of how to set a goal. SMART stands for specific, if you want to take notes, measurable, achievable. So if I'm praying 5 minutes a day right now, to set a goal to pray an hour a day is probably not the best move. Why don't we make it a little bit more achievable? Start there and build on that consistency. So specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. I'm going to do what, by, when. So rather of saying my goal is to have a good marriage, okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, but maybe a better goal could be this year we're committing to 12 date nights and praying together every day. So that's a great SMART goal. It's a habit I can build to achieve that outcome. Rather than saying I want to lose 5 kilograms or gain 5 kilograms, whatever, like that's still good. But another thing of doing is actually I want to exercise 4 times a week every week this year. That's a bit more of a SMART goal. Rather than saying I want to be on fire for Jesus, once again, awesome. Why don't we go, all right, I want to pray 30 minutes every day in 2025 and read the Bible every night for 10 minutes. And so I encourage us as we're writing our goals, let's make them something we can actually grab and run with. James Clear writes this quote. It's so powerful. He's not even Christian, but it's awesome. It says, you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your habits or systems. And so you and I can have all the goals in the world. This is a bit convicting. I'm talking to myself. But we don't rise to how awesome our goals are. We will fall to the level of habits in our life. And so let's make our goals habits and systems we're going to build on. As I said earlier, if we want to change our life, we need to change our habits. Just quickly, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, verse 27, this is the Apostle Paul, who I believe lived one of the most intentional lives of anyone in the New Testament. He was like, Craig Rochelle's here, Paul's the real goat, come on. All right, verse 24 says, do you not know that in all all runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. He goes on, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Here's my key thought. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. So what Paul is saying here is, guys, I live a life of discipline where I know where I'm running. I know my finish line. And he said, I don't waste my time running aimlessly, not knowing where I'm going. He's saying, guys, Church of Corinthian, I know where I'm going and I'm running towards it. And he says, I don't just punch like a shadow boxer beating the air. He says, I know what I'm aiming for and I'm going to hit that thing, baby. So you and I, we like one of the greatest challenges in this day of age is busyness and distraction. Just running to the most urgent thing and I don't know where I'm going. But you and I want to be people like Paul who said, I've got a vision from God and I'm blocking everything else out and I know where I'm going and I'm going to take steps towards it this year. And how good would it be if you and I end 2025 and we can look back and say, of course I wasn't perfect. Of course I didn't hit every goal, but I progressed and I moved towards the finish line that I've set my eyes on from Jesus. It's an intentional life. And the most important habit out of every single area of our world, if I could just quickly side note for all of us, I believe it's our relationship with Jesus. For me, every year, my top goal never changes. It is something to do with my walk with God. Because I know every other goal is kind of pointless and useless if I am not strong there first. And so can I encourage us? I believe everyone in our church, let's have a goal of this year about my prayer life and my word life. So here today, what is your vision? What is your why? And how can we work backwards towards it? Point two, really quickly, focus on consistency. Everyone say consistency. Now, 2 years ago, I was stupid, and in a moment like this, I wrote some of the dumbest words you can write on a goal. I said I would like to run a marathon. Is that anyone's goal this year? Okay, because I was just discouraging from it, because basically you're paying hundreds of dollars to pay for intense suffering, but I did love it. But I wrote this goal. I'm just kidding. I loved it. I love the pain, but I set this goal. And so what do? I set a goal, run a marathon. All right, I want to run a marathon. It was smart. It was by May 2023. And there's some people here who did it with me, Steve, my dad, Derek, Kathy, and we did this event together. But what I did is I actually paid a coach to help me set a training plan. Because I can tell you this, you can fake a few things in life, but you cannot fake a marathon. I don't think. Anyway, I didn't want to try. And my last training run, I did it with Derek. We ran 36 kilometers for over 4 hours on a Saturday morning. So much fun. Like, come on, this sounds great. Am I inspiring anyone? I'm like talking about dry reaching. Anyway, I won't go there. But was my first week going straight to 36 kilometers? Of course not. My coach helped me that I set a goal. I'm going to run 3 times a week. And the first run was probably around 3 kilometers. But guess what? I just, instead of trying to go too big, too quick, I started small. I started simple. I focused on consistency and I built on it over time. And it's the exact same in our life. I would encourage us that the power of habits and goals is being consistent. And my encouragement is start small. So you might say, I want to be a man of God. I want to be a woman of God who prays an hour a day. That would be one of the greatest visions and goals you could have. But as I said earlier, if we're starting at 10 minutes, my wisdom would be rather than setting that goal, go 2025, I'm doubling my prayer life to 20 minutes. And I'm going to build that habit. I'll do it 80% of days, 90% of days. And then I'll go to 25 minutes and I'll build that habit. And it'll be 80. And I just want to encourage us. Let's start small. Start simple, but focus on consistency. And we build on consistency. I love Paul again said in Galatians 6:9, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Don't get weary. Don't get tired, Paul is saying. Keep doing what is good. Keep doing that habit when you feel like it or not. Get up early and keep praying. Do not grow weary. Get up early, read the Bible. Go for that run. Invest in your marriage. Invest in your children. Put money aside for the future. He's saying, don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So what's the enemy of our goal this year? The enemy of our goals will be you and I giving up. And the key there is, as I said, let's start a bit smaller than idealistic we'd love it to be, but focus on consistency. And consistency compounds. Discipline compounds. Discipline is like a muscle in our life. And when I want to grow a muscle, I don't know, I'll ask John Owen how to do it later, but I'm assuming John goes to the gym and I'm assuming he'll lift something that hurts, but that muscle comes back stronger. And that's what I've discovered with discipline. Discipline is a muscle. And as we grow it with God, it grows and it grows and grows. Yeah. Our life is heading in the direction of our disciplines. Oh, this, like, as I said, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not encouraged. Like, this is good. It hurts. But discipline is choosing what we want most over what we want now. So do I feel like getting up early and praying? Now, just to help you out, like, okay, I'm a pastor and my answer most days is no, I'd rather sleep in. So if you struggle to feel like praying every day, that is very normal. But we choose to do it anyway. That's discipline. I don't want to do that. My feelings are saying no, my flesh, but I choose it because I want my relationship with God more than I want to sleep in. That's why we have to have a why. That's why we have to have a vision. That is the key to discipline. I know my why, and it's more important to me than what my flesh is trying to get me to give up on. Amen? One random side thought again. One key that's helped me so much is accountability. I love the idea of us getting our goals. I'm going to do it with some friends and say, hey, these are my goals, just so you know. And I'm going to keep myself accountable to you. Craig Rochelle says, you are only as strong as you are honest. Let's get accountable. And my last point as I invite the band up, point number three, I wish I knew 18-year-old Dan setting goals, is rely on God. Everyone say rely on God. Commit your actions to the Lord. So Solomon wasn't saying, be the most disciplined person. He wasn't saying work really hard and that's all that matters. He was saying commit them actually to God. Yes, be diligent. The book of Proverbs is filled with that. Yes, be determined. Yes, work hard. But the most important thing here is commit it to Jesus. Commit it to the Lord. Trust Him. And we work with God. It's a partnership. Our calling is always fulfilled in union with Christ. And it's to our own folly that we try to fulfill our goals in our own strength. That's not what goals are about. That's New Year's resolution. That's how the world thinks. But you and I are believers of Christ and we are going, hey, I've heard from God. I'm committing to these things, but now I'm also committing it to the hand of Jesus. I'm asking for His anointing. I'm asking for His help. And I found so often in my life when I finally let go of control and say, Lord, I actually just trust this to you. I have found that the mighty Holy Spirit, who Jesus said is our helper, He then comes alongside me and helps me. And those mornings when I don't want to get up and pray, what happens? The Holy Spirit is there and He's going, Dan, you can do this. I'm with you. He helps me. When I was training for that marathon and I didn't want to go for that run, like it's not just the spiritual things that God wants to help us on. It's every goal and desire in our life. He is our helper. And in Zechariah 4 verse 6, this was the theme of our Powerhouse conference last year. It says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The key to our breakthrough this year, the key to you and I fulfilling the vision God's given us, the key to you and I in December going, hey, I actually did quite well with my goals. The key is not in our strength. It doesn't matter how strong we are. The key is not in our power. The key is in the Holy Spirit. It's by His Spirit that we will fulfill it. And we're going to commit them to God here this morning. I love this quote. God's power in us is stronger than the wrong desires in us. So when you and I are having those tough days, because who knows goals are quite easy in January, right? They're quite easy in February. Oh dear, then Easter comes by. Oh, that diet thing's not working too well. And oh, we made that commitment not to eat KFC, but I'm driving there after church. But what I want to encourage us here today is we're going to commit them to God so that you and I will, this year, we can reflect and say what Paul said. I ran with intentionality. I ran towards the finish line. I knew who I was fighting and I packed the punch in the right place. And this is what I love about the Holy Spirit. He wants to help us. In those moments of weakness, when the wrong desires are in us, trying to distract us and pull us away from us becoming who God's called us to be, we'll find the power of God in us is greater than those wrong desires. So what I'll ask us to do right now, can we all just take out that goals thing? It'll be under your seat or you might be sitting on it. If you came pre-prepared, get that ready. And I'm just going to give us 1 or 2 minutes right now. If you just need a little bit of time, just to, maybe you're just writing out those top three goals right now. As I said, don't wait for perfection. You can add to that later. But what we're going to do in about 2 minutes is we're going to have some of our pastors and key team up the front. We're all going to worship. And my encouragement is that everyone in this room will come down the front. And what you're doing is it's not about the pastor praying for you. It's about you and I taking a step saying, God, Today, I'm committing my actions to you. Today, Lord, I'm committing my goals to you. I'm committing 2025 to you, and I'm asking for your anointing. And what the team is going to do is we're going to pray for you. We're going to lay our hands on our goals, and we're actually going to have oil on our hand. And in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, oil represents the anointing. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you and I will leave this place filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and His anointing to do what He's called us to do. So can I just pray over all of us as you just begin writing? I thank you that you are here, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, you're speaking to hearts right now, giving us vision, vision of the man, vision of the woman you've called us to be. Even now in this atmosphere, I'm asking people will get glimpses in the spirit, seeing pictures, the future. And Lord, we reflect with you saying, what do you want our goals to be this year? What do you want us to do? What's the step you want us to take? What are you asking us to commit to? And God, just like Abram, we don't wait, but when you say go, we will go. We say yes. And just like Abram, we take that step here today in the name of Jesus Christ. So Lord, just speak to hearts here this morning. We love you. We commit this year to you. We ask humbly for your help. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.